The message you're about to listen to has been offered to cause a revival in your life. Now receive the ministry of FEM Foundation.
Amen. Welcome again one more time to church and to the family house. I feel like we need to pray for some sets of people today. Maybe after now. We're still in the series Positioning with Prayers. Positioning with Prayers. There are so many things. I was saying it last week again. The word we're talking about one time, IQ. Now they are shifting away from IQ. They are talking about EQ. But there's an EQ that they have not tapped in. It has to do with SQ, spiritual quotient. Intelligent quotient, emotional quotient, but there's what is called spiritual quotient. And that spiritual quotient is what the believer is supposed to be actually operating in. God has restricted himself to the prayers of his children. It's a great privilege to co-labor with heaven with prayer. It's a great privilege. One of the great privileges that God will give to us, that when you pray, this is what I will do. Is it that God cannot do in his sovereign thing? Yeah, he can. But you see, he has limited himself to a great extent to the prayers of his people. And sometimes some powerful prayers may be one line. But there are some times that we need to position clearly and begin to see what God is doing in our time. In Matthew 6, verse 9 to 13, the Bible says, "In this manner, therefore pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." And in verse 12, the word of God declares in verse 12, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Somebody say amen.
Amen.
In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, it said, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus." In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, the disciples came to meet Jesus and said, "Teach us to pray," just as John taught his disciples. And you must understand that one of the two of his disciples of John left John the day John said, "This is the lamb that takes away the sin of the world." And they understood something about his prayer, and they came to meet him and said, "Teach us to pray." And Jesus is the chief apostle. The Bible says the apostle is the apostle and the high priest of our calling. We should consider him. In other words, we should consider his way. Today, I want to talk about the power of apostolic prayer. The first apostolic prayer that was prayed was by Jesus. And he said, "This is the manner we should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name." What is apostolic? In the Bible, in the Old Testament, you never see the word apostle. Why? Because apostle is not a religious term. Apostle was developed by the Greeks and modified and taken forward by the Romans. When the Romans conquer you, they don't take you away just like the Assyrians and the Babylonians and take you to their country. They will send apostle, and the apostles will come in apostleships. So the lead apostleship is the one that leads the pack. And when they are coming with educators, they are coming with doctors, they are coming with philosophers, they are coming with their philosophy. And the head one of the ship is called apostleship. So we have apostleship. So apostle is trying to say, Jesus is coming and say, "You see this thing you are seeing, it was copied from us. I came back to recolonize you and to bring back everything." Because when Jesus came, so many things have been destroyed. The type of prayer they have been praying have been destroyed. The fellowship that Adam had with God in the garden, gone. And so everybody was praying like they pray. They pray like the Baal people. They pray like everything. It may even shock you now, many of us are even praying even in the kingdom as a Shango worshiper. And he says, "When you come before me, I want you to start with a relationship. And the relationship is not only you." That means that for me to say that prayer, I must be in connection with the body of Christ. I can't come to the Father like I'm alone. Because everything in that prayer is talking about in plural terms. But today we want to look at what is apostolic prayer. Because we must, if we want to be effective in our prayer, we must look at the prayer that Jesus prayed, and also look at the prayer that he taught his apostles to pray, and the ones they prayed after he has gone. And until we get to that level, we will continually be struggling. And thank God for what Pastor AJ said today. Because really, I have discovered that why should the church be operating amongst us in hatred? Because if we really pray the prayer that Jesus prayed, I don't think that there will be hatred in church. If we pray the prayer that the apostles prayed, there won't be hatred. But right now, we see different forms of prayer. And some people will even tell you, they work. You must understand that apostolic prayers are biblical prayers. They are biblical prayers. One of the greatest apostolic prayers I've seen, written by God himself, is in Luke chapter 6, verse 24. The Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Even when the Satan was on rampage and there was no blood, God wrote that prayer and never mentioned the devil. And so, every apostolic prayer are biblical prayers. And you must understand that praying biblical prayers is not just praying a Bible verse. Because that prayer or that verse in the Bible does not make it a biblical prayer. A biblical prayer is an apostolic prayer. And so we must understand that because some things that I see in the Bible, they say the Bible. The Bible, that's why we are praying it. Break their teeth, tear their jaw, and everything is in the Bible. It's in the Bible. It's a biblical prayer. No. That is a verse in the Bible does not make it an apostolic prayer. It doesn't make it a biblical prayer. No. Listen, one of the things I must make you to understand today, if you don't understand anything, you didn't get anything. David did not die for you. It's Jesus that died for you. And if Jesus died for you, then I should be able to look at the prayers of Jesus. And that is the prayer I'm going to follow. And I will look at the first people that stayed with him. And how did they pray? The 12 apostles. Even Paul, the one that he recruited personally from them. What type of prayers did they pray? If we understand that prayer, I believe purity will come back to the church. I believe wisdom will come. The fruit of the Spirit will start manifesting. Holiness will be there. And you know what? Above all, all of us will begin to walk in love for one another. You must understand that the Word of God is the vehicle the Holy Spirit rides on. Most times when I see some prayers, I know this one. It's not even a Bible verse. It's from your emotions. And I can tell you, David prayed some emotional prayer in the book of Psalms. It's from his emotion. It's not the word of God. God did not tell them that way. And when you really read the book of Psalms, you will discover how depressed and how happy and how unstable somebody can be. And that's why, for us here, Jesus is perfect theology. You must understand that these apostolic prayers, born in the heart of God, God really wants to answer this prayer. He really wants to answer this prayer. And these are the things that burn in his heart. And that's why David was somebody that was so spectacular, even in the Old Testament. He brought a New Testament reality. We must look at what he did well. He brought a New Testament reality and God allowed it. He went into the New Testament. He destroyed all this form of worship that you kill ram and everything. And he stopped it. He brought the tabernacle of David, the Ark of the Covenant. He put it on Mount Zion and a tent on top. And for 24 hours a day, for close to 33 years, the lifespan of Jesus, they were playing, singing, and praying every day. And that's the New Testament. Because in the book of Acts, chapter 15, when they saw how the Gentiles were coming, Apostle James said, yes, I remember. It was prophesied by Amos that on the last day I will restore the tabernacle of David. So the Avalanche is about the restoration of the tabernacle of David. Our prayer room is about the restoration of the tabernacle of David, where we continually, and I believe that in this place coming, we are going to have a 24 hours non-stop prayer house, where we'll be doing the harp and the bow prayer. There will be singing, there will be a lot of prophesying going on every day. Why? For us, why is it? So that people will seek the Lord. There are people that will get revelations, and they will seek the Lord. And the moment we started praying about this, we just started this Wednesday. We started 21 days fast for the intercessors. If you can, you can join. And we began to seek answers to prayer immediately. Why? Because we are praying not for ourselves, but for the body of Christ and for the nation. And most times, because we are taught that we should pray for ourselves, we are not seeing that reality. The believers are supposed to be sacrificial in their nature. We are the ones to lay down our life, to see that the kingdom of God advances here. It's our Father's estate. I want to see the Father's estate becoming what the Father intended it to be. And so we must ask ourselves, what are apostolic prayers? Because I really want us to have apostolic prayers. Most of the prayer points we have in the prayer room are apostolic prayers. There are about 30 apostolic prayers in the New Testament. 30 apostolic prayers. And I can assure you, most times we have neglected those prayers and we are praying out of our emotion. It's true that you can pray out of your emotion, but the more you keep on praying that and you focus on Him, it will change. David said a statement, he said, "I was envious of the wicked. How are they prospering? Why are they having things working out well for them?" Does it not shock you that you married as a virgin and two of you are virgins but no children? And somebody who doesn't know God, doesn't know anybody. Doesn't know anybody, or doesn't call upon the name. In fact, if you call Jesus, say, "What's that name?" And the person first year, second year, it's as if God is just saying, is he telling God, "Stop." And you are wondering. And he said, "Until I entered the temple and my perspective changed." And that's what it's talking about, persistent prayer. But that's not what we're talking. These prayers are focused on the church, the ecclesia. The prayers are focused on the church. They are not focused on any enemy. They are focused on the church. And that's the apostolic prayer. It's about the church. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." It's talking about our Father. In other words, people coming as a community and praying and say, "Lord, there must be a visitation." The first part of the prayer is about praising Him. The middle part is about request. The end is about praising Him. They are focused on the church. And what does this prayer? In Ephesians 3, 16 to 19, it said that He will grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you will be rooted and grounded in love. Apostle Paul was writing to the church in Ephesus. The church in Ephesus had no correction from Apostle Paul. What was Apostle Paul telling them? That they will go further in their beliefs. That there's a place in God. When there is a breakthrough, there's also more in God. What he was telling them, he said, "I'm praying for you so that you'll be strengthened with might in your inner man." What is making many people discouraged is because there's no strength in their inner man. The same thing that is making somebody discouraged is something that is still affecting somebody at a higher level, and is tapping you on the back and say, "Forget, don't worry, it'll be okay." And you are wondering, why will it be okay? It took Elisha to say, "You know what? Lord, open his eyes so that he can see." There is strength that will come into your heart. Eh? That when people say there's a casting down, it's not about saying, you know, I've seen some people, they don't even know that scripture. It has not encountered them. "Oh, and the Lord said, when there's a casting down, lift up your voice and say, there's a lifting up." No. It's an encounter. It's a prayer that say, "Lord." That's why you wake up in the morning and say, "Lord, I receive strength in my inner man." Because you see, let me tell you, you can't say you are not a thief until you see $10,000 bundle. And it's looking at you. And that you are considering taking it is even sin. And some people will see that same morning and they will call the person and say, "Who owns this money?" Two situations. It's strength in your inner man. You must also understand that he's praying that Christ may dwell richly in you. Apostle Paul said, "For you, my children, in whom I travail much in prayer, that Christ..." Listen, you can teach your children all the skills about parenting. Train up a child the way it will go. People have done it. They still came out outright. That Christ be doing. You will tell people in church. Sometimes you tell people in church some things. When you go outside, see how they behave. Say, but I just preached this message. No, Christ is not for me. It takes you to pray this prayer. Lord, let Christ be formed in my husband's heart. Let Christ be formed in the church that I pastor. Let Christ be there, be formed in your heart. And also that they will be rooted in love. They will be rooted and grounded in love. When you pray this prayer, you see devil there? Did you see your enemy? The more you carry the church to focus on hatred and everything, there will be hatred in the church. In verse 18, say, may be able to comprehend all the sense that is the width and length and depth and height. To know the love of God, of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. This is a prayer. As Apostle Paul is praying for the church in Ephesus. How many of us pray this prayer? Lord, you have not given me food since morning. Lord, I'm dying here. Lord, been in a while. Lord, now what for? So you are not praying the solution, you are praying the problem. In Acts chapter 19, verse 10, he said, and this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwell in Asia heard the word of Jesus, both Jews and Greek, so that the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. The word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. The word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. It takes prayer to say, Lord, open their eyes to see. Then the word of God will start growing. They are focusing on the ecclesia. When you focus this prayer on the ecclesia, before you know it, people will step into the place that you are. And all of a sudden, nobody told them they love them. They will feel loved. The people you are praying for, you are not the one to console them. When things happen to them, you know, sometimes when things happen to people in and the pastors, you know, pastors are, when they say, oh, something has happened, they say, how will I call this person? And what will he say? How will I console the person? And sometimes you go to some people's places, and they are the people telling you, say, it's okay. You are wondering, it's okay? Yeah, it's okay. I've seen people that backslided because they sacked them from 40,000 naira job. They left. I'm telling you, it's not because it's about you. There's a type of prayer. You pray for your children. I remember a pastor praying, and in the book of Ezekiel, say, Lord, give them the heart to know you. Give them the heart to know you. Give them the heart to know you. I've seen husbands complaining about their wife, but not praying one day. I've seen wives complaining about your husband, not praying one day. When you pray this prayer, it's like you throwing arrow, the silent bomb. He doesn't know that it hit him. He doesn't know that it hit him. He doesn't know that it hit him. These prayers are directed to the Father. They are not directed to the enemy. They are not directed to the devil. They are not directed to your mother-in-law. They are not directed to your father-in-law, your sister-in-law. They are not your problem. They are directed to the Father. And that is the prayer we want you, because this is an apostolic movement. It's not about that. It's about that the kingdom of God will flow out of this place and affect the street, affect the spheres of influence in society. We need that. We need everybody here to be on mission. I'm not saying pack your bag and go to the village. Your workplace is a mission field. Your business is a mission field. You on the street, you are on mission. And that is what it is. So you are not targeting your prayer at those that are fighting you. No, you are not targeting the person you are holding hands with. And say, this one I'm holding hands with, this prayer is against you, no. And everything. No. It's targeted towards the Father. In John 14, 16, he said, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. I will pray the Father. So anything that is going on in your life, there is no need to target that thing. Release the prayer to the Father. Release it to him. In John 17, 5, he said, and now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Jesus is now praying to the Father. In verse 11, he said, now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. That they may be one as we are one. How many of you believe that the church in the world will soon be one? I believe it with all my heart. You know why? Jesus prayed it. How many of Jesus' prayer did God not answer? Listen, we are so inundated with the problem of the church that we think this prayer, I say, my brother, even our local church, we're not able to agree. Is it the whole? And because we speak that, because there is power of life in of death in our tongue, we are really seeing it. I have seen people about to divorce. All of a sudden, one prayer, they look at themselves and they say, I love you. It's supernatural love. And that's why we pray for the church in Nigeria to be one. Many people are only praying for their local church. Lord, let us be one here. We don't care about the others being one. No. Here, let's be one. And there's no separate heaven for any church. We're all believers in the Lord. I had a course one time, one person who has grown to leadership in one of our locations, and I told him, I've restored him back to his former pastor. And the pastor wants to see me. And he began to weep and said, this has been my problem and my challenge. There are many of you, you are going with hurt and hatred. All you need to do for that person who is not following the way, who is wicked in your employer, is not to direct your prayer to kill him. I've seen many believers threaten people with prayer. You say, I will naked for you by 12 midnight. That's witchcraft. I'm telling you. I'm serious. Why are you treating people with prayer? The sons of thunder told Jesus, let's call down fire on these people. Jesus said, no. Now, this spirit that has grabbed you is not the Holy Spirit. You don't know what has grabbed you now. This is not the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is a refiner's fire. It doesn't destroy. We must direct our prayer. Ephesians 1:16, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Making mention of you in my prayers. Do we make mention of our husband, our wife, our colleagues and the office? Making mention of the Lord, bless him. Bless our president. I know you don't like him. Bless him. I hope you know that God loves him too. Because it's hard for you to think that God will love him. But the Bible says, for God so loved. It's hard. Listen, don't put your mindset into the word of God and try to rewrite the Bible. And the question you should ask yourself, you, are you doing well? You. There are people that criticize people for corruption. If you see their corruption, you will be shocked. Their own. And that's why it must start. The word of God is like a double-edged sword dividing the soul and the spirit. When you take the word of God, don't target it at anybody. Use it to cut yourself. And say, cut me. In Ephesians 3:14, he says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he will grant you according to his riches of his glory to be strengthened with mind through his spirit in the inner man. You know, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I bow my knees to the Father so that he will strengthen you. So these prayers are targeted at the Father. Number three, these prayers impart positive things. It doesn't remove negative things. A It doesn't remove negative things. It impacts positive things. When I come to my room and there is no light and I want to see, what do I do? No. Darkness leave. Every darkness fashioned against me. I say backfire. Just imagine you see your husband in the room that is dark. Say every darkness fashioned against me. I say removal. You saw your husband like that in his room. What do you think you would do to your husband physically now? There is something wrong. You tap him, he say, leave me. I'm worrying. You tap him again, say, leave me. You will take your phone. And all he needs to do is not to address darkness, is to switch on the light. Let's go back to your prayer now. How you pray. You hear kpak, 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 kpak. Every disaster fashion against me, I say backfire. And you are going back. You are saying they should backfire. You are going back. No. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, and the earth was without form and void. And God made the heaven and the earth, created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness filled the face of the deep. And you know what? And the Spirit of the Lord moved. And God said, every darkness in this space, I say backfire. Why are you laughing? Have you prayed like this before? In Philippians 1:9, he says, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. Every time you see hatred, there's no time to address hatred. Release love. Because darkness cannot be more powerful than light. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. Only one fear, he released three things. In other words, he's trying to say, you can take care of this fear. One, with love, in your spirit mind. The power, you speak. And sound mind, your thinking. Sometimes fear attacks your thought life. And it's a belief he sent. In 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 12 and 13, he said, and you will walk worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in the truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. What was he trying to say? When they saw unbelief, they released the word of God. And it was welcome, because you see, the word of God that is spoken with power always produces results. And so, that's why I tell people, before you take the word to people, take the people to God, to the word. Listen, I can speak to you like a sinner, because in my belief, you can't do right. And so the way we'll be talking and talking, no. But if I speak to you like somebody that will receive the word of God, I will release the word of God to you. And you know what? You can't sleep anymore. Because you are not a sinner. You are a saint. See, dangling between two opinions. And so what do? I say, Lord, let the word of God come swiftly in their heart. Let them receive. Because you see, everybody, there's a vacuum for the supernatural. There's a vacuum for God. Although they may not know it. And how do they know it? They try to use physical things to quench it. So you go for 3 girlfriends to quench it. You go for more money to quench it. No. You go for more connection to God. No, it's not about that. It's about, there is a vacuum in your life and only God can fill it. And if we recognize that, we now begin to impart positive things. So when I stand here and say, I declare that this church is the most generous church, people say, Pastor, I know. Because what I have prayed for is not what I will speak against. This place is full of love. This place is full of love. Some people will say, we not be family for you. Have you heard that thing? Which kind of family? I say, you want us to run family like your own family, that when people come to fight you, all of you will gather to fight. Although you are not talking to each other. That is not family. That's an arrangement. It's an arrangement. We must do kingdom family the way kingdom family is to be done. And we need to start imparting. So when you see your husband not doing well, instead of complaining about his behavior, all you need to do, Lord, I impart wisdom, understanding, revelation. And he's sleeping because his spirit man is awake. He's hearing. Instead of complaining, or you know some people, you go to Facebook, they are talking to some people. One day I caught somebody, I say, who are you talking to? And so we address the problem. No, apostolic prayer is to impart the positive. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another according to Christ Jesus. Do you see people not agreeing in church? In your group that you are leading, they are not agreeing. This is a prayer. You are praying for a couple that is not agreeing. This is a prayer. That they will be like-minded towards one another. Not going to God and say, God, you see, Okafor and Ngbeji, they are not talking. Lord, I don't know how that name came, but you are not come, you're like a prayer meeting. Let's pray for sister. Let's pray for sister Ngbeji. Sister Ngbeji is not talking to the husband. Let's tell her. No, that's a gossip session. It's a gossip session. It's about speaking about the problem, but this one is impacting the positive. We pray for Sister Ngbeji that her home, we are bound in love. Our home, we are bound in sweet communication. You are impacting that. Nobody even knows what you are praying. He said, Pastor, you're not praying well. You go talk to them as they do. Nah. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2, it said that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not everyone have faith. So instead of you telling, Lord, let them die, let them die. You know, there was one time you were a wicked man too. You were a wicked man. Any person that has no Christ is wicked. How many of you were wicked before? Raise up your hand. No. Yeah. No, everybody was. Just imagine somebody one day prayed for you. Apostle Paul would say, pray for us so that we'll be delivered from wicked and unreasonable men. And sometimes when God wants to deliver you from wicked and unreasonable men, he will even raise up somebody who does not know Christ to speak for you. It happened through scripture. And so when God is promoting you, this is when you start praying this prayer. Deliverance, Lord. Deliverance, Lord. Because some people just look at you, they don't like you. Not because you did anything, because the way you dress. Say, you can't do say, nah, no pass. Wicked. And sometimes, place your hand on your body. Say, Father, help me from wickedness. Deliver me from wickedness. Jealousy is wickedness. Envy. You are partnering with the enemy. In this kingdom, there's no place for jealousy. There's no place for envy. And lastly, these prayers are guaranteed to be answered. Is it guaranteed? Listen, why does God want to answer our prayer so that our joy will be full? our joy will be full. And that's why he said this prayer. In this manner, therefore, pray. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. When you say that, he comes. He comes. I tell people, listen to me. You know the problem why we don't have provision? We don't pray for today's provision. Have you prayed to God today for the portion of today? Because some people told you that, my brother, walk. He will bless the work of your hand, not the prayer of your mouth. That's not what's in scripture. He will bless both. He's the one that said it. Pray like this. Give us this day. So when you pray for give us this day, give you 6 cups of rice. But you are only one person. He expects you to eat 1 or 2 if you can. And give the 4 away for others. But no, you eat 1, you even eat 3. And keep the... The problem you don't pray for this portion is fridge and bank account. And storehouse. You know, some of you have rice tea 12 months time. That's why we don't pray, give us this our portion for today. Give me our portion. And sometimes God in his mercy will provide the portion. Although you will not recognize, you will still be bothered. You have eaten, say, bo. Have you eaten, say, bo, I've eaten. What's the problem? Say, next tomorrow. He said, why are you bothered? He said, have you paid your children's school? He said, yes. He said, what's the problem now? He said, January. The Lord that started this good work in you. All these things, the more you began to pray, I was talking to Pastor Enoma today. I said, there are 3 main themes in my life. I learned it many years ago that I read the book by Jerry Savelle, In the Footsteps of a Prophet. He was writing about his relationship with Kenneth Copeland. He said, sometimes Kenneth Copeland will come to the office, he will still be praying because they need to pray the next month's salary. It's time for payment. Money has not come. La ba ba ba. So he said, sometimes Kenneth Copeland will know that the money has come and they would say, leave him to keep on praying for next one. We need to pray for the impartation of the fruits of the Spirit. We need to pray for the impartation of the gifts. We need to pray for the spirit of wisdom. All these are guaranteed answers. The problem is that these answers are not tangible, but they have been deposited in your spirit that when you need it, the SQ will come out. The character frame and the balance will come. That when you get to a place, what is tempting people, it will not come. Why? You have prayed it. I'll be grounded in love. You don't understand how somebody will talk ill of you and you are talking good of the person. Before, it was not like that. These are guaranteed answered prayers. You can't imagine how you will have challenges, financial challenges, and you are still happy. The joy has been released. You've been praying about it. You can't understand how all of a sudden they give you a question in your workplace and they are cracking their brain. You just step in. And you bring the answer, they say, what's going on? And you are asking, I don't even know. I didn't even think about it. Why? You have been praying for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And some people will say, you are very intelligent. It's not about intelligence. It's about spiritual quotient. And whether you like it or not, many people know this. Many people know this. They may get it from the dark powers because they know that the spiritual controls the physical. Every time you place your hand, your children, they are walking they are not walking in the Lord. There's no need to criticize. Release it. Your husband, your wife is not working well. Husbands, I was talking to them in Men of Honor breakfast prayer meeting. I was just praying. I said, most times men complain about their wives. But many years ago, God solved it for me when I saw in Genesis 26. And Abraham and Isaac prayed for his wife. And Isaac prayed for his wife. If they say women submit, that means that there's a seed of rebellion. And there's no need to say, Lord, every rebellious spirit in my wife, remove. Every Jezebel spirit, remove. Every Jezebel, remove. Remove. No. Spirit of wisdom, let them be grounded in love. And everything. Rise up on your feet. And I will love you, Lord, my strength. And I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever of my day, I will love you, Lord. If you are here today, you are struggling with your prayer life. There are many of us, because of unanswered prayer, we have stopped praying. Every time I pray, this is what I do. I look for where what God is doing with that prayer. And this week we started on when we are beginning to see what God is doing concerning what we are praying. You know why many of us do not pray? We think prayer is just, let's just talk to God. He said, me, we'll pray. Whether I answer or not answer is okay. But every time I see what is going on in Benin, what is going on in Gele Gele and all those things, I say, Lord, we pray this. Every time I see people operating in love, operating in this, I say, Lord, you are answering those prayers. Every time I see sometimes the leadership in our nation begin to operate in a dimension of wisdom, I say, Lord, thank you. If you are here today, you are still struggling with your... Let's pray for you. I will, Lord, give me wisdom.
Thank you for listening to this message. For other life-transforming messages, please call 0805-1028-787 or 0706-969-6499 or visit our website at www.femfoundationng.org.